I had this like minor moment where I was like, oh no, I wonder if Fran Rabinowitz lost power, because everybody seems to be losing power left and right with this storm. And I don't know about all of you, but many people, their alarm clocks are plugged into the wall. So, you know, if the alarm clock dies, all of a sudden you're not getting up on time. Fran Rabinowitz is here. She's the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. Fran, you did sleep in, and that's honestly, I think it's good. Whenever we can just like sleep in a little bit, I have no problem with it. But you didn't lose power yet, so that's good.
No, we did not lose power, but I did actually sleep in, Melissa. I missed my gym class at 7.
Oh, no. That's okay.
Yes.
You know what? It's all good. Honestly, it's always funny. My mom and I, we always try to like effort to get to the gym the whole week leading up to Christmas. And we were like, what are we doing? Like, what for? Why are we doing that? We're just going to indulge and not do anything for a week. And like, what are we doing? So it's fine.
I know. But I have good friends there, you know?
I get it. And it breaks routine. I get it, Fran. And listen, you're a teacher. You guys live on routine. So I get that.
We live on routine.
Yeah.
It upset my routine this morning. But
I'm so sorry.
So be it.
Well, hopefully by the end of the conversation, maybe it'll be uplifting. I don't know why.
Yes.
For some reason, I always hope that it's a good experience on WACC. So
always is. I always feel good. I really do.
Well, I feel the same way about you, Fran. And I'm so glad you could pop on. It's the day before Christmas weekend, so I appreciate it. I know schools are out, you know, all next week, so I just know this is like your vacation time, and I'm cutting into it, so thank you.
No,
I appreciate
it. No, don't be silly. Well, no, it's just fine.
Thank you. So it's interesting. There was a local story this month that really piqued my interest. New Haven is trying to allot more than $3 million in basically after-school programs, tutoring, and summer programs, because some of the data coming out of New Haven is really troubling. I think in new reports it showed close to 13% of third graders are at or above the math scores, the math standards they should be at. And for reading, for English language arts, it was about 16% for third graders, which is just really troubling. I think terrible, right? I mean, awful.
Yes.
I'm wondering.
Yes, it's very troubling.
So you obviously, you know, you're in touch with many school districts across Connecticut. Is New Haven like the worst? Are other inner cities seeing the same sort of stats? Maybe not the exact same, but does this kind of run par for the course for places like Bridgeport, Hartford, obviously
yes,
New Haven?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other troubling piece, along with the low test scores, is the chronic absenteeism. You know, it's well over 40% in New Haven and also in Hartford. I'm not sure of Bridgeport, but I'm sure it's following suit. And that is equally troubling because we can't teach them if they're not there.
And I want to reiterate that this isn't really a reflection on the teachers, because I do know, I feel like they are the brunt of everything. I think that they're blamed for everything. And
I agree.
I'm serious. I have cousins who are teachers. I have friends who are teachers. I look at them as that's one of the toughest jobs right now, I think, in America, because when you sign that contract to become a teacher, you're now taking on things that were never actually written in there. But parents expect it from you. So I don't envy teachers, to say the least. But I think a lot of times people look at the pandemic and they're like, oh, you know, learning loss from the pandemic and absenteeism because of the pandemic. Was this an issue before the pandemic? I want to make that very clear for people.
Absolutely. I mean, it wasn't in the 40% range, but when I was interim superintendent in Bridgeport for 3 years, we battled chronic absenteeism.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It was, you know, certainly higher at the high school level and, interestingly enough, at the kindergarten level. But
wow.
Both of those are very important, either beginnings to school or on your way to adulthood. And it was very, very hard.
So we're talking this morning to Fran Rabinowitz. She's the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. And Fran, remind folks who are listening, I know you come on the show very frequently, but for those who are you know, maybe just newcomers to the show, you used to work in Bridgeport. You've been the role of a superintendent before. You've been the role of a principal before, correct?
I was a interim superintendent in Bridgeport and okay. Hamden, associate commissioner at the State Department of Ed. I was not a principal. I worked for many years, though, as an administrator in research and evaluation.
Okay.
And I was in charge of teaching and learning. Truly, Melissa, I spent the greatest part of my career in Bridgeport and never expected to leave Bridgeport. So I feel like, you know, I carry it in my heart all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so when I hear statistics like this, or when I see that kids aren't in school or aren't achieving, it is, it's devastating.
I think it's what's really sad, Fran, is so here we are. We, you know, New Haven, first of all, hasn't even gotten this approved yet. This is just like an idea, essentially. It wouldn't even be approved until next year. Like, it wouldn't go into effect until the next school year. So all those kids are going to move on to their next grades, and there's not going to be any summer program set up. There's not going to be any of the tutoring, any of the after school, like nothing for this year. What I think is really sad is they're relying on the American Rescue Plan dollars, which we know that's, if we haven't already run out, we're going to run out of that very soon. So even if this does get approved, it's not forever. It may not be forever.
It is not forever. I mean, I admire the, you know, Mayor Elliker for doing it. It certainly, this is not just a school issue. And I think he is sending that message. It's a community issue.
Yes.
We as the schools reside in the communities. And if these children aren't performing well, it will affect New Haven. It'll affect Connecticut. And it'll affect the United States. They're not alone. And so I think driving home the message that we all are affected by this is very, very helpful. There are so many things that we can all do if we put our mind to it, you know, and you are absolutely right. The ARP dollars, the ESSER dollars, they're going away in 2024. Maybe you'll get to 2025 to use them all, but it's very short-sighted to think that this is the, you know, this is how we're going to go, because they're not going to be there. What happens then?
Exactly. We're talking schools this morning because there was a story that, I have to be honest, it kind of bothered me, Fran. Like, I read it and I thought, this is a great initiative. I'm glad that they're doing this and they're recognizing it. But there's this huge underlying issue here for me. And so we're talking this morning to Fran Rabinowitz, the executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. And I'm talking about the story in New Haven, an initiative that has only been proposed. It has not been approved yet. It would use $3 million of American Rescue Plan Act funding. And what it would mean is having after school and summer tutoring and enrichment programs for students first to fifth grades in New Haven. So here's like the big thing I'm looking at, Fran. You know, Connecticut is touting the fact that we have all this money, essentially. And I'm not saying we should spend all of our money. But if we're talking about school districts, not the majority, right? We're talking about Bridgeport. We're talking about New Haven, Hartford. I'm trying to think of other ones. Like, I don't know if Stamford would fall under there, because I think they do pretty well financially. I don't know.
Well, Waterbury.
Waterbury's another one.
New London, Wyndham. Those types of school districts, they're in the lowest district reference group in terms of socioeconomics.
Okay. So give or take, we're talking about what? 6 or 7 school districts, do you think? Like, how
Absolutely.
Many do you think?
Absolutely. That if we did things differently in those districts, mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at Hartford, New Haven, and Bridgeport, you are looking at probably close to 60,000 students just in those three districts.
Okay.
That are, you know, 16% are above level in language arts. That's a lot of students that we could impact if we provided what was needed.
And that's what I'm getting at. So quick math, if you were to take the six cities that have the lowest scores in Connecticut, which are tens of thousands of students, if we took the $3 million that we're talking about for New Haven for each of those districts, you're talking about $18 million. I'm sorry, but that's like nothing for Connecticut. I mean, when we did the gas tax holiday or whatever, it costs more than that per day to give the gas tax holiday, essentially. Like, this seems like a no-brainer to invest in after-school tutoring and in summer schooling. But I don't understand how we're even saying, like, we've got to take the money from the American Rescue Plan instead of, like, why hasn't Connecticut made this a priority to invest in our kids? Like, I don't get that. This should be a no-brainer. This should be something that is built into every school system in Connecticut.
Yes. Yes. I couldn't agree more, and I've certainly spent my whole career working on it. And I would say to you that it's perfect timing, in a sense, for the next legislative session, in which we have proposals to better fund. But I also have to say to you, Melissa, the better funding is a necessity. It's the foundation for where we go. Mm-hmm. But we also have to look at the leadership in how those funds are used to assure that they're used at the classroom level. And the tutoring is great, the after-school programs, the summer school programs. But, you know, I think we also have to look at 28 kids in a first grade class. And we have to look at how we are managing the entire school day. And the other piece that I can tell you is the tutors. Remember, the last time I was on the show, I think I was talking about shortages. We said there are over 1,000 openings for paraprofessionals in this state. Those are the people that we're going to be looking to to train to be those tutors. Where are they? Can we find them? And can we find the quality teachers also that are going to go to these cities that need them so badly? And the only way we're going to do that, honestly, Melissa, they're out there. We've got to improve the working conditions.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that, Fran, because one of the things, the governor's coming on the show this morning, and I really want to tackle education. Yeah, I want to tackle education big time. And I am actually, one of the questions I had in mind was, I noticed that the state police, which I'm not knocking state police, we need them. We are down hundreds of troopers. So, like, I'm glad that we're going to bump them up money-wise, but we're looking at their new contract has a bump in salary, a bump in pay, the base pay, a bump in bonuses, eliminating the amount of time that troopers start to see those pay raises. So a lot of money initiatives, essentially, to bring troopers in. I think that's great. I know we're doing something similar for nurses. We're trying to give programs to get more people to graduate and become nurses because our health care, we need it. I think that's great. What about the teachers? What are we doing to bump, like, anything to make it even attractive for people to want to teach in Connecticut? But as you mentioned, what are we doing to improve the conditions of teaching in Connecticut?
The working conditions. And I'm really happy you're having the governor. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago about the teacher shortages. And, you know, that it's also, if you look statewide, it's a respect shortage. In many cases, everybody thinks that they know how to teach because they went to school. And teaching is an art and a science, and we were trained to be teachers. And I think the respect for professionals goes a long way. I think the governor realizes that. I do think that the funding and the teacher salaries are incredibly important. And the cities tend to be the ones that offer the lowest salaries.
Yeah, it's very true.
The cities and out in eastern Connecticut. And it is essential that we look at that and that we look at the same time at the working conditions. I could go on and on about this. I did exit interviews with teachers. They told me, Fran, you don't always have the resources to provide what I need to be successful. And I want to come to work and feel successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they told me. And I know that I didn't. I didn't have the resources to provide the interventions that every child in Connecticut should have in order to be successful.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, you bring up such another great point, which is why I love having you on, Fran. And I know we've run out of time, but like even the idea of this mindset, and I don't know if COVID made us this way. I think for generations, you've always had parents who know better than the teachers, right? That idea of like, no, my kid, I know what's going on. But look, we live in an era where people have video cameras on their phones and all of a sudden they're journalists. And I'm like, really? Like, okay. So I get it. I think that you make a great point. People learned a lot about COVID, so all of a sudden they know more than infectious disease experts. People went to school, they know more than teachers. And I get it. I think that's the era we're living in right now. I don't condone it, but I do see exactly what you're saying. And I appreciate you commenting on it this morning. I definitely will be diving into this with Governor Lamont. That's for sure.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And he is very aware and very, I know he's concerned, has been since he was campaigning first to be governor.
Mm-hmm. No, I do know. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, Fran, I hope you and your family have a very Merry Christmas. You have such a beautiful family. And I love that you stop by this show as often as you do. Thank you for giving us your time.
And thank you for having me and have a wonderful Christmas. It's such a beautiful holiday. Let's all enjoy it together. Thank you, Melissa.
You too. Thank you, Fran. I'll talk to you soon. Fran Rabinowitz here, Executive Director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents on WICC.